Well, thank you, Pastor John. And I don't know if I mentioned this. This church has a really good worship team.
Amen. Amen.
I said that? Probably every week.
Amen. Like
again, I tell you what, it's a blessing to me. It really is. And this size church, they have the music.
Yes.
When I moved to Oak Ridge before retiring, they were using what I call canned music, which was YouTube videos and such. And I've been in other churches that are much larger, and you know, this church is blessed, folks.
Amen. Yes.
I might mention that again sometime.
Yes.
All right. So the sermon title is A Better Way to Get Your Way, but it's actually a sermon about how we treat each other.
Amen.
And you can even add one more. It's a better way to get God's way, especially if we're followers of Jesus Christ. And so this might be more than a one part, because there's certainly lots the Bible has to say about how we would treat each other. But there are better ways to get your way. One of the reasons I say this is because there's a lot of angst right now that's happening, and people are expressing, you know, they're not feeling like they're heard and such, and sometimes they may express things in a way that, are you really trying to persuade people to your side, or are you just trying to put people down and you're just trying to blow off steam and anger? And there's a lot of that. So there are ways that we can, in life, to be able to do better about getting what we need, what we want, and especially for God as well. All right. I'm going to start out with just a real quick story. Years ago, I was pastoring in Elko, Nevada. So Nazarenes aren't a prominent religion in Nevada, but there is a religion there that's pretty prominent, actually. And I remember there was a fellow, he had just started coming to church. He had been a Nazarene, grown up a Nazarene, kind of fallen away, and he married a gal from this particular religion. You know what it is. And so, can you talk? He said, can you talk to her and tell her what's wrong? And I go, okay. And I'd lived in Idaho. I'd boned up a lot on what this particular religion, that you know what it is, believes. And so I met with her, and I started into all the things that I knew were wrong. And she stopped me, and she said, so instead of telling me how bad my religion is, how about telling me how good yours is? And that really, really was just a light bulb moment for me. It changed the way I did things, because we certainly have good news, folks. And I got to thinking about this as well. Questions. What do you do when things don't go your way? Because in this life, I got to tell you, the things aren't always going to go your way. They really aren't. And so what do we do about that? So what takes place is, so this is my list. I don't know about you. I've been known to pout, give up, give the silent treatment, take revenge, scold and shame, retaliate, become defensive, carry a grudge, manipulate. I'm good at walking away. I'm not a conflict guy, so I like to go and hide. Just get mad, become impatient, fight, quarrel, gossip. There's more, obviously. Do I have a little bit more? All right, here's the next question. Why do we do the things we do when we don't get our way? Well, maybe it's because we are trained that way. But the Bible explains some of this. This is Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19. But the things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Then James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 explains more. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The Bible's pretty clear about why we do what we do. And if you've grown up in certain situations, maybe you've seen others do things the way they do, and you think that's just normal. But there's a better way. There really is. A better way to get your way. So number one, we would treat others the same way that we want to be treated. And not how we've been treated. Because I imagine there's a lot of us, because we've been treated a certain way, that's our go-to mode, and we will do things out of what we are used to and what we know, unfortunately. And so we have to relearn things over the course of time. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a time where it was, great, but there was a lot of harshness. And if you played sports, your coaches probably yelled at you. And you probably had parents that had grown up in a certain era where they had ways of discipline that may not have been as helpful. So some of that stuff we've learned. And it's because we've been treated that way, we're going to treat other people that way as well. And so we hope that we can break that cycle if that's been the case. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, "So in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Someone came up with an idea about the platinum rule. The platinum rule is you treat not only treat other people how you want to be treated, but you treat other people how they want to be treated. And so it takes it even to another level. But I don't like being yelled at. I don't like being scolded. I don't like how people can be just harsh and rough. And so I'm more of a gentle spirit, typically. And so that's hard for me. But it happens. So I want to do something different. And I want to learn from my past. And not act out of my past as well, if that makes sense. All right. So first off, we treat other people how we want to be treated. And then we continue to love one another. Now, I think it was my first sermon back when we first started this, and talking about love and how we love, we're patient, we're kind. There's a whole list of different things in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Right before that, though, it's interesting because it talks about all the different things you can have. You can speak in the tongues of angels. You can have this and this and this. But if you do not have love, you are nothing. You are nothing in this life if you do not have love. And so, Romans chapter 13 tells us this. "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law." So the next question would be, what do we owe others? We owe them the debt of love. Well, do they deserve it? Maybe not. But we are still supposed to do that. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can. I shared a story about a grumpy lady, and well, it was probably more than one, but in Klamath Falls years ago. And how God just convicted me and said, "That's your parishioner, you're her pastor, you need to love that person." And the Holy Spirit's really good about that if we allow the Holy Spirit to have access in our lives to teach us and to do what's necessary and to convict when necessary as well. So I owe people a debt of love. So what do we do out of that then? So we respond and we don't react. And that's one of the things that's so important. And I don't know about you, but I can react pretty quickly. I can be kind of hot-headed at times. And I can remember it was a camp a while back that I've worked with camps many, many years. And this particular camp, I directed camps and helped in a variety of ways, but I was retired at this time. And so I called the person who was a friend. I knew he was directing the camp. And I said, "Can I just come and help this summer? I just love to do that. Whatever you need to have done." Because I enjoy camp. I like being with kids, and I just like being in the atmosphere where the Holy Spirit really works in the lives of young people. And so I was in charge of the games that particular year, and I was working the volleyball tournament that particular time. And the director, he's a pretty good athlete, and so I made sure that he got on my team somehow, as I recruited a bunch of other kids that I know were pretty good. And so we were going into the final playoff round. And he hadn't joined us because he was busy. He's the director of camp. And so we finished a game, and I went up to the upper field as a Camp Kellogg, and I said, "Hey, we're going to be playing at this time, and so if you can make it." And he just snapped at me. And the first reaction was to say, you can't treat me that way. You know, what are you doing? What's wrong? And I just really wanted to walk away. I was just really, it hit me. But then I remember different times when the Holy Spirit has convicted me and said, hang on, there's something going on here, because that's usually not like him. And so I said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, what's going on? And so he went in to share with me about all this brand new equipment he'd bought in the camp before him, or this particular camp. They had taken all that the supplies of the new activity games and such like that, and they just threw it into the storage shed, and some of it was wrecked. And he was so upset by this. And so I said, let me help you. Let me help you. I can see you're frustrated. And so the next 2 hours, we went around, and I helped him with all the different things. And he apologized. I apologized. And we didn't break a friendship. I didn't carry a grudge. It wouldn't have been always the case. But over the course of time, I learned how we're to not react, but we respond in a way that is Christ-like, and a way that I'm not going to regret later. I've seen so many times where people reacted and they break friendships. I've seen people lose jobs. There was a young couple that was attending our church in Nevada years ago, and he got so upset. This person was constantly just teasing him and bothering him. And there was something that triggered him. I can't remember what it was, but he got so mad, he went out to his car, he pulled out his tire iron, and he smashed the guy's windshield. And he was working for the BLM. Well, guess what? He lost his job. And he was just so upset that he'd done that and all that, but it didn't have to be that way. I've known others that have lost their jobs just because they blew their top, and we can't do that in certain situations. So to be gracious is very, very important. All right. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. It's foolish to do that, but we can. I know that. I know that because we're human, and the devil knows our weaknesses. He's going to try to continue to get us to do things that we might regret later. So that's a habit. Get into that habit. Number one, say, this is the way I determined to live. Allow the Holy Spirit to help me in this, and then practice it. So I'll yell at you. You can come and respond or whatever. So or Pastor John, he'll go, what are you doing? And you can say, oh, what's going on, Pastor John? You don't have to practice that way, but all right. So here's another thing. It's a quote. I can't remember who Joseph Hunter is. I like quotes. And he said, my life is in the hands of any fool who makes me lose my temper. All right. So then we don't return evil for evil. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Again, easier said than done, but we can put this to practice, and we can have it so it becomes just a part of who we are, to determine that we will do that. Romans chapter 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's certainly a lot of evil that's out there, folks. It really is all the time. And our response as Christians is to act out of love and to treat people how we want to be treated and to be patient, to be kind, and then not to judge. So one of the things that takes place when we have different people in our lives is, and it's easy to do this, and so judging, let me just explain what, in my mind, judging is. Judging is not necessarily not observing. We're supposed to be shrewd. We're supposed to be gentle, the Bible tells us. And so we're also not supposed to become unequally yoked with unbelievers in a way that is going to cause us to be swayed by them. And so I can make an observation. Someone called it a fruit inspector. So if you get fruit, you want to look at it. If you buy apples at Trader Joe's, watch for bruises. All right? It's from experience. But that doesn't mean I'm going to condemn the person. That it doesn't mean I'm not going to find out about that person. Someone said this. They said, be curious. Be curious. Instead of being judgmental, be curious to find out what's going on. So when my friend acted out of a way that normally he wouldn't, I wanted to find out what was going on with him. So that's why I asked, how are you doing? What's going on? He explained it to me. I go, okay, that makes sense. And so sometimes we see behaviors and things, and here with my new job, I am a, it's called a DSP, but I call it a caregiver. It's a developmental service person or a professional, and that's what my job is with my grandson. And so I have to take some classes. And so I took a class recently. It took about like 3 hours to do. It's just an online thing, and you take a little test at the end. And it was all on behavior. And what the main thing that I got out of that is behavior is the way that people communicate because of what they're going through, what they've experienced in their lives. And so if you need any help, I'm now a behavior modification specialist. There you go. Right here at your service. I don't know what I'm doing with that, but I can say, I know this guy. He's a behavior modification specialist. That's great. Yeah. So it's communication. When people are doing certain things or acting out certain ways, there's a reason why they're probably doing that. And if we can find that out, it's going to be more helpful for us to understand them, not to condemn them, but to see how possibly we can help. We may not be able to help them. That happens sometimes. But at least we're going to be more understanding. And in a way that's going to help us. Another thing that takes place is, it's interesting, a lot of the things that the Lord doesn't want us to do, there's actually a consequence to them when we do those. This is one of them, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So again, it's okay to observe. You can make judgments in the way that you want to find out what this person's all about, but to condemn a person is where we draw the line. And then we want to be gracious. Grace is given to others what they don't deserve. Someone said it this way: if we have justice, we need it. That means we get what we deserve. Mercy means that I don't get what I deserve. So if someone is merciful to me, I deserve to have some punishment, but I don't get it. But grace is getting what I don't deserve. That's why we get to go to heaven. We don't deserve it, but that's grace. And that's in our lives. And so we treat people in a way they don't deserve for me maybe to be kind to them or respond in a way that's not rough or harsh. They may not deserve that, but I try to give that to them anyway because that's what grace is all about. I don't know if I share this story, just wave your hand. I don't think I did because I'm sharing the same stuff with the youth group at times. So years ago, Kathy and I went to Germany, if you heard about that story. And so 3 years later, we got to go back. And we were in Nevada that particular time, and Kathy's folks went along, Kathy's brother and his wife, we all got to go. And so we got to go back to where I was a youth pastor for about 15 months. And it was great. We had a great time, got to reconnect with some people and see how things were going there. We actually got to see a youth service of 50 kids in the Hügelstrasse church, the Hill Street church where I pastored. And that was the goal originally for me, to be able to help a youth group to grow to 50 people. And that I got to see that. So that was awesome. So we're getting ready to come back, fly back. We got Megan. She was little at the time. I think she was 3, just turned 4. And we were all flying together back to Portland. And so we get up to the gate, and they say, well, there's not enough. We overbooked, and so we're going to have you just wait over here. The rest of our family, they're already booked, ready to go. And I say, and they offered us to be able to fly later. I go, is it possible that we could fly together? And there's a lot of people there really angry, as you can imagine. And the poor person there that was, you know, sharing all this, she was taking a lot of guff from people. And I determined that I was going to be kind, and I would check every once in a while and thank her. Thank you. I just want to thank you so much. I know that this is a hard deal you have to deal with, and so I just want to let you know that we appreciate. And if you can help us, that would be awesome. We would like to sit together if that's okay. And she goes, yeah, I'll let you know. And so they're starting to board, and I'm going, oh boy. And so she calls us over. He goes, oh, I got your tickets for you. And well, thank you so much. And so she gave me the tickets, and I looked at it, and it was seat A, B, and D. I go, I don't mean to say anything, but it doesn't look like we're sitting together. Oh, you're sitting together. Trust me. Okay. And so we get on. We're one of the later ones to get on because everyone else had already started boarding. But we got on the plane. It was great. And I come to find out that we are in business class. And that's why we had seats A, B, and D, because the seats were so wide. They didn't have room for seat C. As a matter of fact, they stretched out the complete length of my body, which is 6'6". And the first thing they do is they bring you little socks, they bring you a toothbrush with toothpaste, they're offering drinks. The menu is much different than in economy. And so, man, we were just, anything we needed, man, you just, hey, can I get this? And they're right there with whatever. And so we're flying, and at some point, I better go check on everyone else. And they're back there, they're all huddled in like this, and I look at them, I go, I got to get out of here. And then a guy from Sweden is sitting next to me, and his friend comes up to try to sneak in. Then the nerve of that guy. I mean, really, what is he thinking, trying to sit up here in business class with the rest of us? Sheesh. Now, was that a coincidence that we got that, or was it helpful for me to be gracious and kind to someone who probably takes a lot of guff all the time? I like to think it was a benefit and a blessing to be able to be kind to that person. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So here's a question to ask. Why did you do or say that? Because sometimes we don't even realize why we did. So here's some questions to ask. What were you trying to accomplish by doing that? So were you really trying to help the situation by blowing up, or did that get the response that you really wanted? How did that work for you when you did that? That's kind of the Dr. Phil question. Where is God in this conflict? What do you think you may have done wrong? What do you think God calls you to do in this situation? Hang on, my computer just went off. So, and here's the challenge. And I want you to be mindful that it's just not about getting our way. Ultimately, we're trying to get God's way. And one of the best ways to get God's way is to act in a loving manner with the Holy Spirit to help us with the fruit of the Spirit to come out of us regardless of the situation, regardless of what we are experiencing, that when I'm squeezed, it's not going to be something sour that comes out, but it's going to be sweet. And it's going to be in a way that's going to help people to connect to Jesus. And ultimately, that's why we do what we do and why we treat other people the way we do, in a godly, Christ-like way. And may God just continue to help us. So here's the challenge. Pray that the Holy Spirit would help you, help us to do things God's way. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you help us over and over and over again. Lord, I look back at the times that I would regret for how I acted, and in a way that wasn't Christ-like. And so, Lord, I just thank you for, we're all a work in progress, myself included, and I thank you for how you've helped me over the course of time, Lord, to understand the importance. And ultimately, Lord, I believe that if it's our heart to try to reach people for Jesus Christ, then everything that we do is going to be centered around that, and you're going to help us to live a life that's going to be an example to others. And they're not only going to see that example, but they're going to want what we have as well. And so, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would help us with this. And I know you will, if we're willing. And so, Lord, please help us to be willing. And again, Lord, just pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, so that we can live the life that you've called us to live. And we just thank you again, Lord. We want to bless your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.